The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The fact that they got the sweep is a great sign, because back in the day, that's a split. Maybe you took three or four. They kept the losing team losing and swept that team, and I think that's significant.
Yeah, anytime you sweep, in the history of the Royals, they've only done that to the White Sox three other times. So, look, to expect that moving forward the next time these two teams play, to ever expect any team to sweep a four-game series, to me, is silly. And you can dive into each and every one of the games. Every facet of the team came up big at some point over the course of that four-game series. That game yesterday, to me, was won by base running and defense. Awful base running, awful defense by Chicago, and average to above average by the Royals. But the bullpen, 11 and a third innings of scoreless relief over the four games. Every starting pitcher gave you a chance. And don't look now, but MJ Melendez has a lot of confidence, and I think that's a very scary thing for the rest of the American League Central.
Yeah, before we get back to the pitching, I want to ask you about MJ Melendez. For me, it would have been a candidate for I don't see it. Like, I think other teams would have saw his potential. Oh, I liked him to do this, and I was like, did he have a position? And he struck out a lot. And if they would have dealt him in this offseason, I'd have been like, fine. I didn't see where this was going. Now all of a sudden he looks like, oh, that's a middle of your lineup guy. I mean, what a move I guess he's made. What has he done to improve? Is it strictly the confidence?
It goes back to last year's All-Star break. This was a guy that was digging a hole for himself in the first half of the season, struggling early on, refusing to make adjustments, and just spun himself like a top into the ground, was in his head mentally, and had no real feel at the dish. But getting that break last year for the Midsummer Classic, he was able to get away from the game, decompress a little bit, and acknowledge that if you want to stay in this league, you want to excel in this league, you must evolve. You got to adapt. And made some changes to his swing, and the numbers in the second half of last season were all-star caliber, in OPS around 850, and he's carried that into this season. That type of OPS that MJ has since last year's all-star break, if you can put that together for a full season, now he's already done it about 80 games, but if you could do it for a full season, that's going to end up top 20 in the sport. That means you're an all-star caliber player. And give him some grace, I think, last year. This was a guy that, I think, unfairly, but hey, you want to stay in the big leagues, you got to do what you got to do, had to learn a new position in the big leagues. That's very difficult to do, right? He's been a catcher his entire life, and they're telling him to now moonlight in the corner outfield, even though we had no real experience. So there was a lot going on last year with MJ Melendez, but shoot, if this continues, you look at MJ, you look at Mikel, and you look at Vinny Pasquantino, three guys that all have all-star talent. The question is, and Q mentioned this just the other day with MJ, the next step is doing it consistently, not forcing me to use qualifiers like, well, since last year at the All-Star break or since August 10th of last year. No, just look at the baseball reference page, look at the back of the baseball card. If that happens, if you can post three All-Star caliber sluggers around a true superstar in Bobby Witt Jr. and a Hall of Fame candidate in Salvador Perez, that to me is the best lineup this team has had since I've been here. Talent-wise, it's more talented than the 2015 team. If MJ, Mike Allen, Vinny Pasquantino are able to put it together consistently. I've seen Vinny really good for 70 games. I've now watched MJ really good for 80 games. Mike Allen has as high a baseball IQ as you're going to find on that team. So they all have the talent. They just need to go out there and do it. And if they do, to go along with this pitching staff, I don't see the fatal flaw on this team.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going into the season, where everybody's poo-pooing 70 wins or whatever the case may be. I'm like, this is a completely different team. Let's see what they can do when they start out.
I mentioned that yesterday, Bob. Yeah. I mentioned that yesterday on the On Deck show. I gave you your credit.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're seeing exactly what you talked about. There's so many aspects of this team that are a complete 180 from the past 3-4 years.
So I know you got baseball excuses, your answer, but like MJ is like every other baseball player. They don't have the success at the big league level, and they don't want to adjust. And we know, well, I've done it my whole life like this, but we've seen so many instances. Just about everybody comes up to the big league level and they don't have success right away and they have to make adjustments. Why are guys still so stubborn on that with all this track record that we've seen with basically every player in baseball?
Yeah, I've brought that up to countless coaches over the years, and they often point to parenting. Now that goes over my head as someone without kids. I think you guys might be able to understand nieces and nephews, family members. It doesn't matter how much you tell them, I've lived this. This is all a rerun to me. Trust my advice. And then they go out and they still make those stupid decisions.
Right, right. They have to learn for themselves.
Fair enough.
We just see it in baseball probably more glaringly than anywhere else.
Right.
I don't know why.
And that's also what's kind of beautiful about baseball. It does mirror life. You have to adapt. You have to evolve. You have to take some humble pie. You need, and if you want the best for the team, and this is one of the things that you're seeing, you leave the ego at the door, you put the team first. You're willing to sacrifice for your teammates. To me, so much has been already mentioned about this team and their chemistry. To me, chemistry is just, in baseball and sports, it's just a fancy way of saying leave your ego at the door and put the team first. And you're certainly seeing that with this squad right now. Will Smith, after being pulled on Friday, goes into Matt Quatrero's office and says, Skip, sorry I let you down, but I'm 100% with you. I understand why you made that move. I'm all about winning. I'll get things right, but for the time being, no issues over here. Good move out there, and whatever you need from me, I'm with you. And you saw that yesterday, Will Smith coming in the eighth inning.
Is it because baseball plays so many games, guys? In football, you don't hear like in game three, like, wow, until he figures out that this ain't college anymore, he's gonna struggle. It feels like in baseball, it's right in front of our face more often than not. Is it just
the amount of failure?
Just because, maybe the failure rate is higher and the number of games are there, and it's just a little more day to day, right in front of you. Where you see this, you see the kids grow up.
Well, I think Brady Singer's a great example as well. Brady's always known it's going to be really tough to survive in this game with just two pitches, just your sinker and slider. But then it's only you out there on the mound fighting for your life with 20, 30, 40,000 people in the stands and some of the best hitters in the world standing in the box. So for as much as in years past he wanted to throw that changeup or implement the sweep or the four-seamer that you're seeing this season, when your back's against the wall and you know you don't have the support of a bullpen and offense, you know you're on a really bad team, man, you're doing what it takes to survive. So you're going to go back to what works. I mean, as far as a hitter is concerned, you can put all the work in on the off day, during batting practice at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, but when you're standing in that batter's box, it's just you with the 20, 30, 40,000 people breathing down your neck. And are you going to stay true to what you worked on 3 hours ago, or are you going to fall back to what you've been doing your entire life? If you do indeed try to work on or implement what you guys tried to put forth during batting practice and you punch out, you go to the dugout and you say, well, to hell with that, right? You want immediate results, whether you're a teenager or a big leaguer, you want immediate results. And if you don't get it, you go back to what you've always known. So the failure, the day in, day out nature of it, there's a lot that goes into it. Again, MJ needed that all-star break, needed those 5-6 days away from the game to just focus on the work. He brought that up to me when we talked on the postgame show recently. When you're in it and you're putting in that work during batting practice, when the game starts, it's tough to focus on that work because, again, you're just trying to survive, trying to do what it takes to succeed in that moment. But when you can get 3, 4, 5 days away and just solely focus on changes that you need to make, adjustments that you need to make, tweaks to your swing, whatever it might be, and you can just hone in on that, it goes a long way.
Vern, how has Q been through all this? I mean, it's only 10 games. I get it, but they're winning now. They're on pace for 97 wins. How is he handling being the manager of a superstar baseball team?
I know, Bob's pacing already. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I like it. I like it. Right. I had somebody with the organization say that that move of pulling Will Smith was the biggest move of his managerial career and will have ripple effects in that clubhouse that'll carry him throughout the season. You look at the offseason, the aggressiveness of ownership.
In a good way.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, we've had people before go, oh, just give him time, let him figure it out. Meanwhile, you're losing the team because you're throwing out, you know, rubber arm Ryan out there.
And if you look at the way that things went with Will Smith, it almost, I don't want to say went perfect, but you let him dig his own grave. You were respectful to the veteran, the guy that served as a recruiter this offseason, the guy that served as the leader in spring training, the guy that kept it light, a guy that everyone in the clubhouse looks to for leadership, for a laugh, for guidance. So you don't want to embarrass that guy. But you've also spent this entire offseason talking about how we're going to win. And ownership was focused on winning. J.J. Piccolo in the front office focused on winning. Even in spring training, you know, giving the ball to Cole Reagans in the opener, giving Marsh the ball for number 5 in the rotation, sending Jordan Lyles to the bullpen. You know, Nick Lofton burns this team playing first base in Baltimore. It's a day later. You see Hunter Renfroe and MJ Melendez getting some work in at first base just in case they're needed down the line. You know, you can't let the team get burnt multiple times the same way or else that goes back on the manager. I got no issue getting burnt once, maybe even twice, but when it becomes something that even us in the media or the guys inside of the clubhouse say, well, what are you doing here? That's when you start to lose the guys. So,
yep.
You know, Nick Lofton at first, you know, Hunter Renfroe started off the season slow. Q was quick to flip him and Nelson Velasquez in the lineup. That game on Friday, Will Smith comes in. And as he's trotting out of the bullpen, Q already has James MacArthur up throwing in the bullpen. I can't remember the last time I've seen that, but I was very happy to see it because it was proof that, look, we brought you here to be our closer. We told you we would give you an opportunity. You're 1-for-3 thus far. We'll give you another one here, but it's as short a leash as you're ever going to have. We'll give you 3 batters. They did. He gave up a double and a walk.
Yep.
Pullum. They bring in James MacArthur, and he finishes off the job. So, yeah, I think Matt Quatrero and this coaching staff are really just continuing what has been an uber-aggressive off-season spring training and now regular season. Even the way that he's using his bench, it's very consistent. You don't have a clubhouse that's confused of, am I going to go in? No. Adam Frazier knows if Nick Lofton starts and a right-hander comes in out of the bullpen, that's me. So to me, you do, and I know it sounds cliche, but you do have all 26 pulling on the same end of the rope right now, from Will Smith, as I mentioned, going into Q's office, to even Vinny Pasquantino, who's 4 for his first 33. He's still in great spirits. I'm still thinking team first, even though you know he's pressing a little bit. He's in his head a little bit, but MJ, Bobby, Salvi, the pitching staff, the bullpen, so many others are able to pick him up. I can't remember the last time you could have someone with the bat of Vinny Pasquantino. I can't remember the last time the Royals could have their number 3 hitter 10 games into the season without an extra base hit. And it's okay because the other guys are picking them up. It's been a very long time.
Well, and that's where you go back to this whole team aspect of things and everybody doing their job. But the Q thing to me is really, I think, something we're going to be talking about a lot because he's managing the team, quite frankly, like I would manage it, and not the same style that we've seen for the last 40 years around here where we're trying to be nice to everybody and giving everybody an opportunity. Q's looking at this go, we got a couple opportunities to win games. If we're not doing it and you're not helping, I'm going to pull the ripcord on this.
And we all want to see what that means.
Yeah.
That he's managing in ball games that matter.
Yeah, like, you know? No, I think it's great to hear that move was so vital and sent kind of, as you said, ripple effects throughout the clubhouse, because here we were last week talking about how they needed to pull Will Smith out of that role, Josh, and the text line was like, you know, being the typical baseball fans that we are, going, give him more time, Bob, and I, because I was advocating cutting Will Smith, but I understand why you don't, but But getting him out of that role, Q went to it fast. And I appreciate the fact that he did, because the last thing you want to do is lose games and get those guys down. Because you saw Bobby running out of the clubhouse or down the dugout steps yesterday to the clubhouse after that win, how excited he was for that win. You want these guys to go home at the end of the night knowing, hey, we're a successful baseball team. And if one guy keeps blowing it for you, that's going to crush the morale of your team.
And the morale right now, as you mentioned, with Bobby coming off, but even if you go back to Saturday's game, the game-ending ground ball to Bobby, the extra little zip that he put on that throw to Vinny Pasquantino, who, as he receives it, gives you a left-armed fist pump. You go into the clubhouse, and Seth Lugo described it as electric. The music's blasting to a level that you really haven't, at least I haven't really felt all 26 being a part of those post-game celebrations. Haven't really felt that since the championship core left. And all Q and this coaching staff and the fans need to do to understand why you're seeing so much aggressiveness from this organization is watch the way that these boys play. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. hits a short, hard hit, ground ball up the middle, and it's a double for 99.9% of big leaguers. That's a single, but he busted out of the box. And then you see Freddie Fermin with hustle doubles, Michael Garcia with hustle doubles. When you have this many guys going, with it turned up to 11, right? Always trying to take the extra base. The way that they suffocated the White Sox yesterday, White Sox make back-to-back defensive errors, and the Royals keep the foot on the gas pedal as Chicago's back on their heels, in their head. Kyle Isbell steals second base. It was almost embarrassing if you were a White Sox fan watching the way that this Royals team just suffocated that squad late in the game. When you're watching that as a coach or as a fan, and you got to do everything you can to put the best team on the field to give them a chance to win every single game. So, yeah, the aggressiveness started this offseason with ownership in the front office.
Yep.
But these players are forcing the hand of the coaching staff to go get it.
Vern, in an attempt to declutter, I found a box of common baseball cards from the late 80s and early 90s, right?
Yes.
I'm going to dip into the box. I'm going to pull one out. I'm going to tell you the brand of card and the year and the player. You tell me what team he was on.
Okay.
All right, I've got a 1990 scorecard featuring Jay Bell.
Pittsburgh Pirates.
No. Cleveland Indians.
No. Oh, wow.
I know the card. Score 90 up in the top right.
Yeah, it says score 90 in the top right. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Cleveland,
Yeah, Cleveland Indians. Okay. Jay
I mean,
Bell.
That's the wheelhouse. I have about 15 binders of cards in that era in my basement
right now
that I know are worthless, but I can't get rid of.
Totally worthless. I didn't know what to do with them. So I've decided, like, anything I want to get rid of in the house now, I'm just bringing into the office and leaving it here, and somebody else can throw it out. Here's another card that I'm going to pick out for you.
Next time you guys do a road show, give them away there. People go crazy
for
baseball
will.
Cards,
okay.
Especially the kids.
Okay, we may have one coming up. All right, here's one. It is, what year is this? 1980. A's.
They're in good shape.
Oh, sorry.
I
read the team.
Boo.
I can't do that.
Oakland.
Yes, Oakland. Yeah, it was in Oakland in 1989.
All right.
Yeah, here we go. We've got a 1989 Donruss card.
Donruss.
89
nice.
Donruss. The name of the player is Danny Darwin.
Ooh.
Oh, Danny Darwin, the pitcher?
Yep.
For the, yeah, that's a pirate. I'm thinking Doug Drabeck. I'm thinking Doug Drabeck, John Smiley, that Pirates. Give me the name one more time.
Danny Darwin.
Danny Darwin.
Yep.
Isn't that a scientist?
No, I think you're thinking of Mr. Wizard.
Charles.
Yeah.
Charles Darwin.
Oh, Charles. I never heard of him.
I don't know. Cleveland again?
No. Nope.
God, this is really embarrassing.
Really
I recognize
is.
The name.
I know
yeah.
too, but
yeah.
I can't picture that one either.
Houston Astros.
Danny Darwin, Houston Astros.
Yeah, now from 84 to 88, he was a Ranger, Brewer, and an Astro. So the guy's been around a lot, man.
If you would have told me before this segment started, hey, Vern, we're going to do this, I would have said, I'm going to run the table and to go 0-2.
I nailed the first couple, but then it's been a little
88 tops.
Okay, 88 tops.
Okay. Go. All right. Kent Good Herbeck.
Year. Oh, of course. Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, you got that one. Yeah.
And you can catch his hunting and fishing show on Bally Sports.
Yes, you can.
During rain delays or
yeah.
or just whenever.
At least you could in Milwaukee. I don't know if they carry it here.
How about score from 1988?
Oh, yeah.
Willie Upshaw.
Willie Upshaw. I don't have one. This. I was going to say Oakland Raiders.
But that's a good one.
That's a Blue Jay.
That is a Blue Jay. A Blue Jay. Yeah, Willie Upshaw.
Yeah.
No Kelly Gruber. Lloyd Mosby.
I'm sure I've got some of those. Yeah, in there's a huge box.
Those cards are in good shape.
I could nerd out with those box of cards right now.
Why don't you come? I'll leave it in here in studio. If you're ever in, you can take a look through it.
I'm a 40-year-old man. I certainly wouldn't want to bring them to my house and organize them by year and date.
What are the odds I pull another J-Bell Indians card?
That was a rough team. That was a rough team until Carlos Baerga and Albert Bell showed up on the scene.
All right, here's one for you. Here's an 88 score featuring the player Paul Noyce, N-O-C-E.
N-O-C-E. I've never heard of him.
I never did either.
So I will say the Montreal Expos.
N-O-C-E. Paul Noyce, N-O-C-E.
He has no ear flaps, does he?
It's a picture of him.
The Gary Gaetti.
Yeah, he's got a helmet, no ear flaps, would be my guess.
Do you know who it is?
Paul Noyce.
Noyce, N-O-C-E.
San Diego Padres.
No.
No, I don't.
Cubs.
No.
Shortstop for the Cubs. I never heard of that guy.
Paul Noyce.
Yeah. Rough year for the Cubs. Noyce is your shortstop.
Yeah, Noyce is your shortstop.
Wow. This guy never played. Come on.
Poor Andre Dawson.
Played 70 games the year before. He was all minor leagues before then. No, this guy never made it.
Hope he's doing well coaching high school baseball.
All right, here we go. Here's a score. This will be the last one.
I mean, it looks like Ryan Sandberg if you squint it, but it ain't him.
Didn't Sandberg retire for like a year and a half and then come back?
I don't know. Did he?
Pretty sure he did.
88 score, Chili Davis.
California Angels.
No.
Chili Davis, he wasn't here then. He didn't come here until a little bit later.
Is he a Mariner?
Nope.
Twins?
Nope. The Giants.
Giants, okay, yeah.
Man, Chili was everywhere.
He really was.
Will you guys start calling me Chili? Could I be? I guess I already have a nickname with Vern, but
I just say, you can't what give a yourself great nickname. I'm going to call you T-Bone.
we already have a T-Bone.
Yeah, that happens.
Coco, then.
All right, enough of the quizzing. Thank you, Vern.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day off. This was it.
I will.
This was it.
All right, Coco.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.